full 7 minutes, so I am going to keep everyone on a 20-second max for your questions. So please be crisp, and I'll ask the panelists also to be crisp in their answers so we can get as many through. Go ahead.
I'm Daniel Lowenstein, director of the Center for the Liberal Arts and Free Institutions at UCLA, and I'm just so thankful for this wonderful panel. So I'll get right to the question. I believe, and you may or may not agree, that for institutions such as the ones that you are attempting to set up, and for whatever hope there might be for reform in the existing universities, there has to be an infrastructure, to use a popular word, of in graduate schools in the world of scholarship that will create, you know, that will enable the teachers that you want, the scholars that you want to be there. So there have to be journals, there have to be graduate programs. Have you given any thought to that need and how it might be approached?
Is this directed to anyone in particular?
Well, particularly Professor Camillus, but any of you that have thought.
Okay. Sure, I'll be brief. That's certainly an acute question, right? How do you support the ecosystem that needs scholars, needs places for scholarship to be conducted, when you have a few fledgling institutions that are small? I do think there is, let's say, a hidden constellation of sources that we can currently draw from of graduate students, journals, programs out there that could sustain the level of institutions that we have. Our hope is to really develop into an R1 institution that will produce that sort of scholarship, those sorts of scholars. And our real hope is to provide an example that is a model that's so successful in returning to these foundational principles that other competing institutions are going to arise as quickly as possible as well. So we're trying to really just create a new ecosystem from the ground up. But I do think there are enough people to hire out there and enough places from the public right now, at least to jumpstart what we're doing.
Indeed, there is a remnant.
Joey Beretta, Hillsdale College. Thanks for taking my question. My question is to Professor Canellos. Specifically, with this focus on new institutions, what ought, say, a young aspiring faculty member ought to do in considering going to programs that are in schools that we would otherwise say are unserious? Basically, is there a balance between preserving quality programs at otherwise questionable institutions versus aspiring to get into these new institutions that you speak of?
Institutions, programs, institutes embedded in other institutions, I think, that are really fine examples of the kind of things that we would want to be. I think most of them are very, very vulnerable right now, and I don't know about their longevity, and it's not the fault of the people who run those places. It's just the culture we're in. This is why we think the crisis is acute. We have to create many other options very, very quickly. To young scholars, don't gravitate towards institutions. Gravitate towards the people that you respect at institutions, and they'll show you the way.
Great, thank you. This is great. We're moving right along.
Hello, I'm Jamie Carini, and I'm a PhD student at Indiana University. And something that my professors are very concerned about these days is cancel culture. Do you have a plan to hedge against that risk?
Hedge against the risk of cancel culture? Well, I... yes, the foundational principles of the institution are open inquiry and civil discourse, and everything will circle back to those principles, both in terms of how we design programs, how we design the institution, how we create the life of students around there. And we're going to have kind of, let's call it a polity, a civil code around those institutions. Those are the only rules that we're going to enforce. I don't care what one's politics are. I don't care what their beliefs are. I don't care what their pieties are. But the boundaries of this institution are built around, are you a productive, civil, and gracious person towards those around you? And are you willing to extend the kind of freedom you want of inquiry to those that are part of your institution and elsewhere? So the other gentleman may have some insight into how to address cancel culture at institutions.
We just don't have it at our institution.
Same. Okay, next question.
Well, to try to summarize quickly, I was stimulated and embrace everything said by the speakers. But something I didn't hear, you know, our glorious, beloved pan-Western culture has produced many things, including Richelieu, Louis XIV, the House of Hohenzollern, Otto von Bismarck, I could go on. We don't want to be there, do we? It seems to me that here in the United States, we have benefited from a unique bundle of attitudes and understandings that we inherited from a certain particular circumstances in England, and that flowered here in a structure which allowed the kinds of freedom that we until recently enjoyed. I'd like to hear from each of you the importance in the renewed university of perpetuating the memory of those things.
Okay, we have all of 1.5 minutes to do this. So, Glenn?
I think we perpetuate those memories by our immersion in the classical tradition and certainly in, my wife teaches the Federalist Papers, you know, we preserve those institutions and ways of thought as, you know, as much as possible, let them be thought through.
Gabrielle?
Yeah, I think the open conversation about history, we have a program at UFM that's called Who Owns the Past, that we have tried to following the title of the book, and we have tried to bring this conversation to different audiences, to the API and many other places, and that's the way we have been trying to do that.
Okay.
And I agree, it's a structural issue. I mean, you know, remembrance is carried on by encounter with the tradition and building that tradition into the curriculum at our university. The first 2 years will be exclusively centered in undergraduate years on the studies of the great questions across the great tradition through the great books. So hopefully that will be informative enough in terms of the things you're referring to.
I'll just say, at Thales College, our namesake, Thales of Miletus, was the very first Greek philosopher, started this whole conversation that we're still having today. What we're doing by is trying to instill reverence, and I like how Glenn mentioned the role of piety and rethinking the role that plays in education. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. I encourage those who have questions to come and speak to the speakers during coffee break and others. I hope we've given you some grist for the mill for conversation. And I'm going to remind you that we have luncheon next door in Brazos 1 and 2. And remember that the afternoon session begins promptly at 2 p.m. in Pecos 1 and 2, which I think is where we're at right now. So.